musical improv comedy. Uplifting.
Improvise sometimes.
He does hang on, wait, hang on. How does it comedically?
We need to know. Yes.
Yeah, it's keeping the feeling of the song, it's using the music.
Do we know any?
Okay, how about this? It just popped into my head.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Heather Urquhart.
And I'm Joe Samuel.
And this is our musical improv comedy podcast.
Yes, what's this podcast going to be about?
Today we're going to be talking about choruses.
Brilliant.
What makes a memorable chorus?
Yes, what makes a good improvised chorus?
Before we do, though, we need to do a special mention because we have had some responses to last week's podcast.
We had a few questions in last week's podcast, which was about bridges.
Yep.
The most exciting question was whether there is a song about a bridge with a bridge.
Yes, we kind of discovered that in podcast, didn't
we? Did,
it? And
yeah.
We've had response on that.
We have.
First of all, Harvey Cash wrote in and he told us that the example we used, Under the Bridge, has actually got a bridge.
Under the Bridge has a bridge.
Yeah, in which Anthony Kiedis characters whines. And apparently as well, we missed out the old time song about bridges, which I can't believe we did.
I can't believe we missed it.
Love Can Build a Bridge. It's the cheesiest song ever.
Love can build a bridge
between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge.
Don't you think it's time?
Heather.
Don't you
Heather.
Think... It's a classic.
Yeah, okay. Has it got a bridge?
Oh, I don't know if it's got a bridge.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But it's about a bridge. So, let's get back onto this week's subject, choruses. So, we wanted to start off by talking about the kings of choruses.
The kings of choruses must be the Beatles.
Yeah, absolutely. In an improvised sense, anyway.
Well, absolutely, because their choruses were very simple.
Very simple. Maybe not the cleverest.
No.
But if they'd been improvising that, we would have been able to sing them straight back.
And that's kind of the point, isn't it, with an improvised chorus, is if it's too complicated, then not everyone's going to be able to join in at the end, because that's the first time anyone has ever heard that chorus during that improvised song.
Absolutely. And I think last week we were talking about bridges in relation to tagline songs.
Yes.
Choruses are great, and they're so impactful in an improvised show, and you've got quite a big cast. Someone sings a really strong, simple chorus. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone goes off, sings another verse, blah, blah, blah. And then when the chorus returns, the whole cast get together in unison singing this chorus. It looks amazing. It looks like magic.
Yeah, and it looks like everyone's on board, everyone knows what's happening. But it's important that everyone was listening to the chorus the first time round.
Yeah.
So if you do an overcomplicated chorus, as I'm sure we're going to demonstrate later, basically it's up to you then to do it again the second time, because no one else is going to join you. Because they won't know what you were singing about. Or if you sing words that people can't hear properly, which I've had a few times.
Yeah, like Anthony Kiedis, as we mentioned earlier on.
Yes.
Under the bridge. Yeah, don't do that.
No.
So let's just sing some Beatles choruses that work. So
she's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride.
She's got a ticket to ride, but she don't care.
Yeah, because they just repeat it a lot. And if they do change it, they change one line. And has anyone... Well, people probably have thought that it's very rare you listen to a Beatles song and you go, oh, God, that chorus is so boring. It just does the same thing again and again and again.
No.
You don't think that at all. You don't even notice, really.
Absolutely not. And I think when you're improvising songs, I mean, I certainly know when I'm improvising songs, if it gets to a chorus, I think, right, I need a really good chorus here. And, you know, I do shy away from the A-A-A-A chorus structure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I do that, because, it comes back to commitment, doesn't it? I mean, if you commit to your chorus, it doesn't matter if you sing the same thing four times.
No, it really doesn't. Although, I mean, it can feel really strange when you're doing it. Like, people are going to be thinking, oh, well, they can't think of anything that rhymes, or they can't think of anything different, so they're just going to sing the same thing. But it doesn't come across like that.
No.
Even when you watch it on videos, having sung the song yourself, it still doesn't seem like that.
I'm reminded of a song we did in the last show, which was At the Bottom of It All, There's Friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a scene in which there was two friends wiping each other's bums. Really high class comedy subject.
Absolutely.
But it worked because everyone was committing to it, and Rebecca came up with a classic, At the Bottom of It All, There's Friendship.
Yeah, so a pun and summing up the spirit of the song.
Yeah, and that's all we sang, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
For the actual chorus.
Yeah. Okay, so we've established that once you've got your chorus, you can repeat it a lot, or you can change one line. But how do you get your chorus?
Well, there's a good question, Joe. Mm. So it depends whether you're listening to this because you do short form improvised songs, mm-hmm. or whether you're listening, you're doing songs as part of a bigger musical structure.
Yeah.
So they can come from several places. You might get given a title by the audience. You might title a song yourself, mm-hmm. or you might have to discover the chorus within the song itself. So yeah. I guess you're thinking about the themes. What's the song about? What sums up the song?
Yeah, so you're looking at the big picture, really. And if we look at some of these Beatles songs, Let It Be, it's not specific. It could be about pretty much anything. So that when it comes to singing the verses, whatever character is singing the verse or whatever angle they're coming from, the chorus can sum up what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So you can have a song with three different points of view in it that they're all brought together by the chorus. Or, in fact, if we go back to the bottom wiping song, there was a split scene with two men jiggling each other.
Yeah.
So very different scenes, but they could all come together and sing the same thing, even though the scenes were very...
Because the scenes were really about friendship, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you could think of 300 scenes that could all have... friendship. At the bottom of it all, there's friendship. So that's the joy of having a nice, generic, openly titled chorus.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to actually have a go at improvising some bad choruses.
Excellent. You've got... You don't want Bin Laden.
I don't really want Bin Laden.
No, okay. Flash Man and the Prime Minister.
Okay. Do you want to sing the verse then? It was very dark, and then somebody flashed the Prime Minister. He was walking through the park. It was very, very dark when he was walking through Hampstead Heath Park. Somebody flashed the Prime Minister.
Well, he thought he had seen the trash man, but in fact it was the flash man.
Yeah.
I forgot the Hampstead Heath bit.
Yeah.
Completely. And of course, when you're trying to think of your next verse, the last thing you really want to be thinking about is trying to remember someone's chorus, especially if you know you're going to have to sing next.
Exactly, Monday.
So there are a few different structures of choruses that we like to use.
Normally we talk about AABB in the rhyme sense,
mm-hmm.
but just for this podcast,
yeah.
we're just going to use AABB to describe the lines,
okay.
to save confusion.
So a chorus that went AABB would have the same line, same first two lines and the same second two lines, for example.
Yes.
Okay, so the simplest one would be what?
AAAA.
So the same line four times.
Yeah. There's also the one that the Maydays like to use, which of course is AABA. When you have the first two lines are the same, change it slightly for the third line so it yeah. rhymes, and then come back to the original line.
Yeah, that's great. And the third line is a good chance to put in an extra little bit of information, maybe that rhymes with the other lines. And quite often when we do that, when the chorus comes back, it's left to that person to sing that third line again. And sometimes that third line can even change when it comes back. So it's still the feeling of everyone joining in with the chorus, but just a little extra treat.
So let's do an example of that.
Okay, the AABA.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Give
me some inspiration from around this room.
Inspiration. How about Ella's Doodle Draws?
Ella's Doodle Draws. Okay. often we do, you save the title of the chorus for the last line. So for this purposes, we could call it BBBA, for
okay.
example.
Yeah, let's do that.
So you take a title, pick me something from around this room.
You pick one this time.
I'll pick one, okay. We've got dark chocolate Easter eggs.
Okay.
During Lent I have to beg. During Lent I have to beg. During Lent I have to beg for dark chocolate Easter eggs.
Very good.
Now you can get a little bit more complicated with your choruses.
Yes.
So you could, for example, do the title of the chorus, another line, the title and another line, mm-hmm. which we can call ABAB.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do one of them.
Okay. So, me and my piano.
Perfect. As long as you commit to them and do them with commitment and you signal. If you're the person that's making the chorus the first time round, you've got to look at your other players, you've got mm-hmm. to make it clear this is a chorus.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that I know, you know, personally, I'm quite bad at, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem with choruses, I'd say, in improvised terms, is that sometimes you'll do a song that sounds like it's got about four or five choruses.
Yeah.
And ultimately, to make a song really impactful and make the audience go away singing the tunes and remembering it,
mm-hmm.
it's doing a simple chorus and everyone committing to it.
Yeah.
So that eye contact thing, signalling to the other players, this is the chorus now, make sure you listen.
Stepping forward, being physical, adding gestures, almost object work and mime into your choruses to really bed them in so that when everyone joins in, they can do the same thing.
And equally, as much as it's the responsibility of the person singing the chorus, it's almost more the responsibility of everyone else to really, really commit that to their brain.
Yeah.
So, for example, in that last one, you might remember the lines, me and my piano will never be separated, oh no. It's just as important to remember the order in which those two lines mm. come, because you might just end up singing the same line four times over, and that's when it starts to look messy.
Yeah.
When people are singing the wrong lines over each other.
And really the point of a chorus is to make you look brilliant.
Absolutely.
And so if there's any disagreement or like insecurity in what that chorus is, then the illusion is shattered.
Definitely.
Mm. Especially if there's dance moves and things like that thrown in too.
I mean, we'll talk later on in the series about counterpoint
mm-hmm.
and how you can use counterpoint effectively. And you can always fall back on counterpointing a chorus. So if you think, oh no, I was thinking about what I had for dinner during that. I didn't hear a damn word of what that person said.
So basically what you're saying is to interject with some little helpful or opposing comments.
Yeah, I mean, if you really, really can't remember it, as long as you commit to it.
Well, sing that last one again and I'll
okay.
join in.
Let's pretend you haven't been listening.
Okay, I was listening. No pretense involved.
We'll never be separated, oh no.
Oh no.
Me and my piano.
Doing a little bit of counterpoint there.
Yeah, I was just repeating what you'd said, really, in the gaps.
So there's always ways around it. You can support the chorus by ooing, you can counterpoint. We'll talk about those in more detail at a later date.
Yes.
But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
nothing is more impressive than a whole cast coming in on a unison chorus when the audience is least expecting it.
Definitely.
I mean, that is what people go away going, oh, that looked like magic.
That was amazing.
And if you can do that, it's all about listening and it's all about making it simple. And if you can do that, people are going to remember your songs.
Definitely. Should we talk about the tune of a chorus briefly?
Yeah, let's talk about the tune.
Okay. So let's take that example you just did.
Okay.
So just the fact you've gone da 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 has given it a little shape. Can you give us an example of, say, a more adventurous tune that would be easy to remember?
Okay, should we do a completely new one?
Okay, let's do a completely new one. History of Britain. No, that's crap.
Why not?
Okay, let's have History of Britain.
History of Britain.
Yeah.
With your tune, you always do the weirdest things, don't you?
Well, yeah, but you did it in style.
Okay.
In the style of the song, which was quite a kind of nationalist sort of march.
So I get, okay, so just play the same tune again. So if I wasn't thinking about the tune,
yeah,
I would have just gone. This is the history of Britain. This is the history of Britain. This is the kind of thing improvisers do.
Even that was quite adventurous for some of the songs that I've witnessed in the past.
Go on then, what, how do you do that same tune?
This is the history of Britain.
This is the history of Britain. This is the history of Britain.
So you've just made it good there.
No, I know, but I was just thinking, I was just improvising.
Okay, what you would do in that situation?
What I would do in that situation, I suppose, is that you could take the words that they're doing and add the tune on top.
Yeah, nice idea.
So yeah, tune, there you go.
Yes.
So maybe having a shape in your head. I mean, this is something we talk about as well, like the idea of looking at something in the room and making a shape of it. So this is the history of Britain, say. I'm just going to try singing a chorus to the shape of that bronze statuette on top of your piano.
Okay. Simply just went up and then went down.
And that was inspired by the fact that the bronze statuette in question mm-hmm. has two long legs
yes.
lead up to his little pipe with a little hole. So the legs were. No, not that pipe! No, he's playing a tin pipe! Joe! Joe, for God's sake!
Two long legs that lead up to his little pipe with a hole.
Is holding in his hand.
Oh, that's loads better. He's holding.
Well, what
his,
would you say, though?
He's holding his little pipe in his hand.
He's got his pipe in his mouth. He's got his pipe close to his mouth.
I wouldn't even go there.
Anyway, the point is, the travelling up with the legs, and the with the hole in the pipe.
I know what you meant. It's just on the radio, like we are.
History of Britain.
So that was based on the fact you're looking at a statue and it goes up and down.
Well, yeah, and the staccato with the notes on the recorder that he's holding.
So you gained some inspiration from there. Have you ever done that in an actual show?
Yes.
You have? You actually used that in a show to find an interesting tune?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So it might just be the fact that the light's too bright mm-hmm. or the fact that the woman on the front row has curly hair mm-hmm. and that makes the tune go curly.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes?
On last week's question theme about a song about bridges with a bridge,
yeah.
Are there any songs about choruses?
With a chorus?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this on the bus.
Oh, you were?
And I was thinking, well,
now you make it sound like this is a prepared conversation, but that's the first time I've ever said that.
No, it is the first time I've ever said that. But I'm saying because of the group mind we have.
Oh, yes.
I'd had the same thought previously.
That is strange.
And I was thinking of a chorus line.
A chorus line?
I don't know if that's actually got a song about a chorus in it.
if you have any questions or comments or answers to our questions, where's the place they should email, Heather?
They should email openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
And if you wanted to read any blogs or listen to previous podcasts, yes, you can simply go to where, Joe?
You can go to musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk.
Where's that, Joe?
That is musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk. Also, you could go to openyourmouthandsing.co.uk.
If you want to see us in action and you would like to come and see a show, you could also visit www.themaydays.co.uk to find out when all our upcoming shows are.
Definitely. And if you want us to come and do a special workshop just for you, drop us an email and I'm sure we can sort something out, can't we?
Definitely.
Brilliant. That's what we love doing more than anything else.
Anything else in the world.
Yeah. So there we go, choruses. Now you are better off and wiser.
Yes. Go forth, Jedis.
And sing.
Six, 8, you're never too late. Into the morning line.
3, 5, 7, 9, little white line. You can't understand anything in jury sings anyway.
Yeah, but the point is that that's an existing chorus now that we don't know the words to that.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of them around.
I suppose.
Like my friend who thought that the chorus of Like a Bat Out of Hell was like a cat on a hill.
Oh, this is good. This is what we have to put in this.
Okay.
People write in with misheard choruses.
Like, tonight, I sellotape my glove to you.
How about, and can't stand gravy. Has always been gravy. Aha, can't stand gravy. I'm telling you, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, we want to hear some examples of misheard choruses.
Yeah.
Because they must be bad choruses, if even after all this time we don't actually know what they say.
Absolutely. So there you go, folks.
Yeah.
That's what we want back from this.
That's what we want.
Bye!